Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to the Balanced Black Girl Podcast. We're putting Black Girl magic in motion. This show is dedicated to reinventing wellness for women of color. I'm your host, Lestrandra Alfred.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Balanced Black Girl Podcast. This is your host, Les, here, and I am so honored to have you joining me today. A common theme that has been coming up for me time and time again over the past few weeks, especially, is just gratitude. So many things to be grateful for, reminding myself of all of the things in life that there are to be grateful for, whether it is something big like our health right now, which, you know, right now, if you are a healthy person, it feels like such a gift. And something just as small as a warm afternoon and getting a little bit of sunshine and everything in between. There's just so much to be grateful for. And I am really, really challenging myself to stop and savor all of those different aspects of life that I am so grateful for right now, because it is so incredibly important. So that's what's really been top of mind for me in a lot of ways, is just noticing kind of through my day all of the different elements of life that I want to express gratitude for, and doing so out loud, freely, in conversation, writing it down, smiling a whole lot more, and just letting that energy of gratitude really fuel a lot of what I'm doing is really, really keeping me afloat right now. I've also been really, really trying to have my stress management game on point. So honestly, I've been spending less time on my phone, probably the least amount of time on my phone in years, far less time on Instagram and social media in terms of just scrolling and consuming. And I've just been giving myself time to just think and be bored a little bit instead of being in constant consumption mode. And it's helped so much with stress management and feeling less overwhelmed with messages and all of the information that we are constantly receiving. And I know stress management is a really big topic for a lot of us. Actually, a few months ago, we had our stress management episode featuring Nadine Joseph, who was the founder of Peak and Valley Co., which is a Black woman-owned adaptogen company. Make incredible adaptogen blends, which are plant-based mushrooms and supplements that are really designed to help your body adapt to stress, which I have been loving and incorporating. And if you want to try Pecan Valley Co. blends, you can use the code BALANCEBLACKGIRL, all one word, for a nice 15% off discount. But incorporating those into my day, spending far less time on my phone and just really focusing on one thing at a time, whether it is the task that's right in front of me or something that I'm reading, or just giving myself a little bit of space to kind of space out and just be without feeling like I need to be in constant consumption mode, has been so, so helpful for my stress and for overall stress management. However, in today's episode, we're not really talking about stress management. I recommend going back and listening to that previous episode from a little while ago. Today, we're actually talking a bit more about energy management and energy management through human design. Today's guest is Jasmine Ofer-Reveal, and Jasmine is a writer, speaker, and truth teller, empowering us to unearth our individual divine destiny through the lens of human design. Through her resources, workshops, and writing, Jasmine is changing the way we see ourselves so that we no longer have to look out for validation, but we have the tools to return back within. So before doing this interview, Jasmine and I actually sat down to review my Divine Destiny Soul Map, which outlines my human design. And during our session, my mind was absolutely blown. My human design type is a manifesting generator. And if you don't know what that means, it's all good because we're going to dive into that around the different types, what they mean, and all of that information. So you will understand what the different human design energy types, and we will kind of outline, you know, what you can do to figure yours out. But during that session with her, I learned so much about myself and how to best channel my energy, how I work best, how I communicate with others. And it's not that I didn't necessarily know how to do those things, but instead, learning how my human design relates to those areas validated what I need to do to feel my best in those areas, if that makes sense. And it was confirmation of how I should approach things and how I should manage my energy. And ever since having that session, it was just so eye-opening for me. It was so, so helpful. So this interview is going to be kind of a starting point of that. If you're wondering what the heck is human design, what does that mean? How does it differ from astrology? I have no idea what you're talking about. I promise by the end of this episode, you will. And if after listening or even, you know, before making it through, you find that you're interested in diving deeper into human design, I cannot recommend learning from Jasmine enough. So you can book a session with her to get your soul map, and she's offering a special 10% discount for Balanced Black Girl listeners. So you can use the coupon code BALANCEDBLACK at checkout to get 10% off your soul map session. You can also check her out on Instagram. She's been doing really, really wonderful IG lives and putting out super helpful content. And honestly, everything she shares is so helpful. I know that you're going to love learning more about her and learning from her. And I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. So let's jump in. Jasmine, welcome to the show. I am so, so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, so our audience may not know, this is our second conversation that we've had this week. Earlier this week, you and I met because you did a human design chart reading for me, which was incredible. Excited to chat again.
Yeah, me too. I know. I'm so excited that we got to talk earlier. We kind of, you know, have this vibe going on. So I think it'll be really comfortable to really dig deep because this is a really deep, a deep kind of spiritual thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you already know me very well. Better than I knew myself a couple days ago, that's for sure. But first, I would love for our audience to get to know you a little bit better, a little bit more about your background and how your story began.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Jasmine and I am 30. I just turned 30 this year. And my background is my parents are Nigerian. So I grew up in a very, I guess you could say, strict household. I was born in California and I moved back and forth from the East Coast to the West Coast. So I just kind of say that I'm from Maryland because it's just a lot easier than to tell the story of like childhood moving back and forth. So I went to high school on the East Coast and I went to college on the East Coast. I went to Temple University. And then after that, I traveled to London and then I got my master's in fashion and advertising. And so I thought I wanted to kind of work in that world for a while, in the advertising world, more on the creative design side of things. That's where I had my undergraduate from, was also in advertising. So I took a bunch of jobs, freelance jobs too, designing websites and doing logos for people and friends and things like that. And then I moved back home after graduating from London College of Fashion. And I was thinking that I would go straight from that into, you know, dream job, moving to New York, the whole thing. and that didn't work out. So I ended up bartending for like 2 years. At the same time, I started this business called Freak Fit, where I was designing 100% organic cotton socks. So I was doing that while I was bartending, and I was completely unfulfilled. Like, I was trying to make things happen. I was really trying to force things to happen, and nothing was in flow. Like, I could feel that the universe was telling me to move into a different direction. But I was like, I've already invested all this time, all these years, all my focus in this one thing. Like, there's no way that I'm going to pivot into something else. I think I was like 23, 24 at this time. So, you know, coming right out of college, I'm thinking there's no way that anything else can happen for me. So I'm going to make it work. So I keep applying to jobs. I think I applied to probably 300 jobs, got rejected from every single one of them. So that was a huge ego crush. And I kind of just fell into this deep, dark, melancholic / depressive state where I just felt like, what was the point of, you know, following all the rules of what society said and still ending up kind of on the other side of this, not being able to pay back student loans, not being able to pay my bills, living at my mom's house. And so that was just such a like rebellious, I just kind of felt very not taken care of and not supported by the universe. So long story short to that, I ended up going to a party one night, and that's where I met my husband, and we got married within 8 months of meeting that night on July 4th. And then a month later, we moved to Thailand for a year, and then we got pregnant in Thailand, came back to America, had our son on a farm in Tennessee, and then moved to California. And then that's where we were for a while until we had our daughter. And we've just been kind of like traveling all over the place, trying to find a home that feels good for us. So that's kind of like the long / short end of it all.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, there are so many aspects of your story that I felt like I could relate to, that I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to as well. I was specifically thinking about when you were talking about your time kind of coming fresh out of college, figuring out what was next, and in your early 20s thinking, well, I've already invested so much time, like this is it. And gosh, I mean, I don't know anybody who didn't feel that way at that time. And now being a little bit older, I mean, you and I are the same age, you look back on it and you're like, oh my gosh, when you're 23, that's everything is just starting. But at that time, when you're in it, it feels like everything is ending.
No, I know. It literally, I mean, that's what it did, because it felt like all my friends were getting the jobs that they wanted or the jobs that they went to school for. I don't know if they were happy or not, but they had a job. That was like the vision. That was the goal. When you graduate from college, you know, you get a job and you get a job in your field. And it felt like a failing moment for me. And at that point, I had no idea what, I mean, I knew what astrology was, but I had no idea how intrinsically it made up who we were, and that I was actually meant to fail to success. Like, I had no idea. And looking back, I'm just thinking like, man, if I could go back and tell myself like, this failure is actually you moving in the right direction, I probably would have saved so many sleepless and crying nights. But you know, it's all, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right?
Yeah. Oh, but I love that, that failure is directing you to success. That's beautiful. And that's actually the perfect segue. So I would love to learn a little bit more about when you did start understanding tools like astrology, like human design. How were you introduced to those tools and what impact did that have on your life?
For sure. I mean, I've always kind of been interested in things, I guess you could say, not of this world. My moon sign is in Pisces. So it's a very watery, out there, kind of in the abyss world. And so I just remember being really young and having a very vivid imagination of what life would look like in a place other than Earth. I'm sure maybe all kids thought of that, or maybe not. No kids thought of that. But I know I always like dreamt of like kind of alien things, otherworldly things. I love sci-fi movies. So that's where my love for sci-fi came in. And so probably around high school, I learned what astrology was, but I only learned what the sun signs were, right? So I would read the horoscopes at the back of the fashion magazines and kind of just, you know, play around and see how I connected to those things. But I kind of always kept it in the back of my mind, because I grew up in not, I wouldn't say a religious household, but it was definitely Christian slash Catholic. Mm-hmm. So all the astrology-ish type of things were very demonized, not really talked about. I always felt like I was doing things in secret. I would probably say consciously started devoting myself to learning more about myself right around the time that my husband and I got engaged. I would just sit for hours just kind of journaling my thoughts out, just kind of brain dumping into my journal. And then I would go back and read it and just think, like, there's something inside of me that I'm really afraid to share with other people. It just felt like the journal was real me and the person moving in and out of the world was not the real me. So I was like, okay, there's a disconnection here. I have to figure out how to kind of return back to this self and then be confident enough to share this self with, first of all, the people in my community and then the world. I think that's kind of what we all struggle with, is like showing people our true and our real selves. Yeah, so then when we went to Thailand, major Buddhist country, so we got the firsthand, I guess, download on all of the practices. And when we got a chance to really dig deep into what truly Buddhism is, spent 5 days at a silent retreat, and that completely changed my life. And that was December 2015 until January 2016. And we were silent for that entire time. And it absolutely changed my life. I just knew without a shadow of a doubt, there was something that I had to discover in the mystery. And it didn't only have to come from a religion, from one religion. So that really awakened me to this pursuit of where I was just really open, and the universe just kind of was bringing things into my existence. I met people. I started reading books. I think I posted a book that I was reading called The Law of One, and it's a channeled book by a group of friends, and they're basically just talking about evolution of humanity and peace on Earth. And I think I posted it on Instagram, and someone asked me what it was. Was it by the same man that channeled Human Design? And I was like, oh, I have no idea what Human Design is, but no, it's not. And so that was the ping that kind of led me to Human Design, because the name of the man that channeled Human Design, his name is Ra, and the author of the book was also Ra. So I just thought that that was the universe kind of like, okay, you need to move in this direction now. So yeah, so that's how I got here.
Goodness. Okay. More that I want to dive into with this as well. I'm really curious about your experience with the silent retreat, because I think the idea of being in silence, kind of with yourself, with your own thoughts, is really scary for a lot of people. How did you feel going into that experience, and how did that kind of relate to how you felt after the experience?
I would completely agree with you. I think before going in, I completely overshot it. Like, my ego was like, oh yeah, this is going to be so easy. We're going to just, you know, coast and quote unquote meditate for this amount of time. The first night I got there, I literally thought I was going crazy. I mean, we're in separate cooties. Like, the women and the men are on separate sides of this land, and each person is in their individual hut. And it comes with, some of them came with ACs and a refrigerator. Like, my husband's didn't have AC or refrigerator. Mine did. Comes with a shower and a bed and a broom. And that was it. And you are literally, like, your food is brought to you. You can't, you're not really supposed to leave your cootie. You can walk around the hut that you're staying in, but that's about it. And so I don't think that my mind was prepared to stay still. I just wanted to run away from everything. Like, the first 2 to 3 days were really, really, really hard, because, I mean, you have nightmares, right? Because it's only you. Subconscious is starting to bring out all these things that you've been repressing your entire life. Things that I didn't even remember that happened to me. They start coming out in your dreams. And so I just kept a journal. And that's one of my most prized possessions, is that journal, because I got so many messages about myself, about my purpose, about the names of my kids, the amount of kids that I was going to have, and their names, their first and their middle names, just strange, you know, what people would call strange things. When you finally take the power back from your mind, it's like the floodgates of your true soul come out. That can only happen when you're alone. It really can only happen when you're alone. And that was the greatest gift that that trip taught me, was that I came into this world by myself and I'm going to leave by myself. And during my time here, I have to really rely on trusting myself and trusting the voice within.
Gosh, that's such a powerful lesson. When you are truly just there with yourself, with your mind, you can't hide behind busy or distractions or anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's the greatest gift that I think anyone can give themselves, even if it's 3 minutes. 3 minutes or 3 months, it doesn't really matter, you know, because the mind doesn't know what time is. So just taking that little bit of time to really discover who you are, those things really add up.
Absolutely. So I would love to talk more about just steps that we can take to discover who we are and what that process can look like. And I know one of the ways that you really do that, or the ways you really help people with that, is through human design. So for those who are not familiar with human design, I'd love to maybe start off just getting some basic education from you about what is human design. If someone's never heard of it, how would you explain it?
Right. That's perfect. So human design is a synthesis of ancient and modern wisdom. And so these wisdoms weave together astrology, which a lot of people know, the I Ching, which maybe not so many people know, the Kabbalah, the chakra system, and quantum physics. And so it tells the story of how all of these energies coexist together, and how you are meant to coexist with these energies based on your time of birth, date of birth, and place of birth. So very similar to astrology. And it's basically meant to be your personal manual. You know how everyone always says, oh, I wish, you know, kids came with the manual. Well, we all come with a manual, our own individual energetic blueprint makeup that's supposed to really guide us on our time here on Earth. And it was channeled in 1987 by a man named Robert Alan Krakauen. And so he had this kind of mystical 8-day experience where he heard a voice, and it just kind of opened this portal, and it allowed this information of human design to come into material form. So he was basically scribing for 8 days. And then after this mystical experience, he changed his name to Ra Uruhu. And that was back in 1987. And it's honestly one of the most mind-blowing systems I've ever discovered, just in the simple knowing of your type and your authority can get you to your divine purpose. Like, there's so many layers, but if you just only know a few things about yourself, your intuition will start blossoming, and you'll just be finding yourself in the right place at the right time, surrounded with the right people. And so when you pull your chart, you know, it's really meant to tell you your strengths, your talents, your wisdoms, what you're here to learn, your fears, how to overcome those things, where you might have taken in conditioning, and your divine destiny and your purpose here on Earth. So it's truly mind-blowing.
It really is. I mean, I think I was introduced to human design a couple of years ago by a friend who said, oh, you know, you like astrology, you might like this, figure out what your type is. And so I took like a quiz online and got my type, and then didn't really think much of it until recently. Just the topic kind of kept recirculating. And I thought, okay, this is something I really need to dive more into and learn about and pay attention to. And that's kind of how we got connected, because I think I just, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I firmly believe that. And just learning how layered and in-depth it is has just been such a mind-blowing experience for me.
It really is. And even in our session, we didn't even, you know, get to, I mean, we could probably have 10 sessions and still be on like the first layer of things. It just really, really, it really gets down deep. And I am someone that is very skeptical. And every single time I do a session with someone or do a soul map for someone, they always write back and let me know that like their mind is completely blown. So I'm just like, okay, this must work. I have not met anyone yet who has not resonated with what they've, you know, kind of found out about themselves.
Totally. Oh my gosh. It's so true. So we mentioned the human design types, the energy types. Can you give us just a brief synopsis of what those are?
There are 4 energy types, and the energy types talk more about your auric energy and less about your personality. I think that's kind of where people get a little bit tripped up, because they'll read it and they'll say, oh, I'm a manifestor. I don't really feel like a manifestor. And that's just because it's more so talking about your auric energy, and the other things in your chart are really talking about your personality. So like I said, there are four energy types. So you have your manifestors, your generators, and manifesting generators. Those fall into the same group. Then you have your projectors, and then you have your reflectors. And I can go through each of those ones and describe a little bit about them. So manifestors make up about 9% of our population. And these people are the initiators of society. They are the ones that are coming in with like these innovative, creative, amazing, very Uranus energy ideas. And their aura is very repelling. And it's not meant to offend anyone. It's really just to keep them in alignment with their ideas, with the ideas that they're here to bring into existence. So without this repelling aura, they can easily kind of get mixed up with other people's opinions of them and what people think of them. And they're really not here to really give a shit about what other people think. They're here to be the people that break down barriers and walls so that a society can move forward. So think of someone like Frida Kahlo. She's a manifester, someone that totally changed the way we look at art and how we look at how art depicts life and vice versa. And for each of the types, there is something called a strategy. And the strategy just lets you know that you're in the right place at the right time. And so for manifestors, their strategy kind of compensates for their coldness and their aura. And they're meant to inform other people so that in a way, it kind of invites people into their auric space. Kind of lets people know like, hey, I'm going to do this idea. If you want to join me, fine. If not, that's cool too. Like when they're informing, they're not really asking for permission. Manifestors are not here to ask for permission. They're really here to just stay in their lane and do their thing. When they're in alignment with who they are here to feel a deep resonance of peace. And when they're kind of off track, they feel really angry. So that's a little bit about manifestors. And then the next group is generators. And these two types, manifesting generators and generators, they're all in one group. And they make up about 70% of our population. So that's a lot of people that are generators and manifesting generators. And these people are what is called like the doers or the builders. They just have this kind of sacral life force energy to get things done. They're able to take a creative idea and make it into a reality. And their aura is very enveloping. They magnetize things to them in life. And I love talking to generators and manifesting generators because these people have really, well, all of us, these people especially have really been conditioned to be initiators, to be manifestors. Like the world tells us that if we want to get something done, we should go out and make it happen. And for generators and manifesting generators, we're supposed to lean back and allow the universe to bring things to us so that we can have a response to if we want to do it or if we don't want to do it. And when I found this out, honestly, it just gave me so much ease because I have been trying my entire life to make things happen because that's what society says, that if you're not making things happen, you're lazy or you're this or you're that. And for generators, as the builders, it allows our energy to only be used for things that truly, truly light our soul on fire. So if all manifesting generators and generators can just lean back and allow the universe to bring them things to respond to instead of trying to initiate things, they're meant to feel deep sense of satisfaction. If they're not in alignment, they're going to be incredibly frustrated. So think of someone like Oprah, who has her hands in so many things. I feel like she is the perfect example of a generator that just has the creative ability to just create and build an empire. So that's a perfect example for a generator and manifesting generator. Now, the small difference between generators and manifesting generators is that manifesting generators carry also the power to initiate. They have to go through several steps of their strategy in order to initiate. So for generators, their strategy is waiting to respond, and manifesting generators are also meant to wait to respond, but they have to kind of follow visualizing, waiting for their body, and then they can inform other people that are going to be affected by it. So their whole thing is just adding just a couple more steps because they tend to move very quickly and they can skip steps. So this strategy allows them to kind of take their time and make sure that nothing gets skipped over. And then the third energetic type are called projectors. And these people make up about 20% of our population or of our society. And these are the guide. They are here to understand systems and patterns and really understand how we as humans kind of work. Their aura is very penetrating. Whenever you meet a projector, they're kind of like very scorpionic, intense, intensive, like looking and peering into your soul. So they're very focused on like, how can this other person be better and how are they intrinsically created? Their specific strategy type is they have to wait to be invited unless they can end up feeling very bitter because of rejection. Because even though they know the right way to make things better, no one wants a projector always telling them that they're wrong, right? That makes them seem very critical. So if they wait to be invited, then it's like a floodgate of truth and wisdom is able to be poured out of them to really help better our society and guide us into a newer and better way of existing. And a perfect projector is Barack Obama, someone that really understands waiting to be invited into creating solutions around problems that we have in society. And then the fourth energetic type are called reflectors. And these people are only about 1% of our society. I think I've only met one reflector in my entire life. And they are here to reflect back to us the state of our society. Their aura is also kind of similar to a manifestor's, where it's kind of repelling, but they're also kind of gliding around other people's auras and sampling the energy. And then they mirror that energy and amplify it back to everyone else. So I always say that a reflector is like the perfect person that would be the executive to the CEO. They know how best to structure the company. They know how best to provide solutions for the company. And they're here to really just mirror back the state of our humanity and say like, hey, you guys, these things are working and these things are not working. And then kind of passing that message back up to the manifestors who are here to ideate and kind of break down the walls. And for reflectors, their strategy is to wait a lunar cycle, which is 28 days, to kind of like get clarity on how they should make their next steps for their decision. And I always think of Dostoevsky, and he's a writer. And so all the books that he ever wrote about was about the human psychology of our existence on a political, economic, spiritual existence. So he was literally just reflecting back the state of humanity at the time in which he wrote. Or a more famous reflector would be someone like Sandra Bullock. So yeah, so those are the four types.
Oh my gosh. So that was like just the perfect amount of information for each, because I felt like I had only really learned about my own type and didn't know, you know, much about the others. And so that was like the perfect amount of information. I know while you were talking about the generators and manifesting generators, because I learned that I'm a manifesting generator, the part that really, really stuck out to me when you were talking the description just now and when we talked earlier was about allowing space for things to come to you and not needing to make everything happen. And after we had our reading the other day, I was talking to my roommate and I was sharing with her, I realized every either major event or really just wonderful blessing that has happened in my life, when I look at it, are things that just came to me. None of it are things that I made happen or that if anything, I suffocated things by trying to make them happen. But all of like the goodness that I can recall are things that just appeared.
Oh my gosh, I just got chills. Yes, I would completely, completely agree with you. Absolutely. If we're living in our design, honestly, like we're meant to have heaven on earth. And I feel like that's really why human design found me, is just because of the way that I was created and the purpose that I was here to kind of unearth and unleash into the world. Like, I don't necessarily know if I could have done it without the material aspect of human design, because our mind loves to categorize things. That's just kind of the way that we learn. So if there is a typing system that allows us to really understand who we are on a very, like a very stars and dust way, I feel like the mind can finally give us, like the soul, some space to just be and not have to just do all the time. And that's why manifestors are only 9% of the population, because only 9% of life needs to be initiated. The rest of it, the universe will just take care of.
Absolutely. And understanding that flow.
Exactly.
It's so helpful. So I would love to talk a little bit more about kind of human design charts, and how they differ from something like a birth chart. So I think a lot of people, especially now, are familiar with what our birth charts are because they are more readily available. There's tons of websites and apps where you can, you know, plug in your birth date, time of birth, place of birth, and get your birth chart in terms of each particular planet and what house you have in each planet. How does your human design chart differ from that?
So your human design chart is literally astrology, right? Like your natal chart that you were just describing. So much more. Like when you pull up your chart, it just looks like a bunch of jargon. Shapes that are, you know, some of them are colored in, some of them are white. You have lines running through them. Then you have like a red side and a black side. And all those things are just very small pieces of your puzzle, of your entire puzzle. So I always just tell people to focus on the parts that are in bold. Depending on where you get your chart from, I always pull the ones that I work with up on Jovian Archive. Just they're the cleanest. They have all the information in different centers, and I just love the simplicity of it. But I always tell people to just really focus on getting to know your type, the strategy for that type, your authority, and your profile. If you just kind of like work on those four things, you're going to unearth so many things that you can't really unearth with just an astrology chart, because astrology is just kind of clocking the celestial bodies, and human design is also clocking in the celestial bodies, but something so much more that hasn't really been tangibly proven. It's like a lot of things in human design are slowly being proven by science. I mean, this came out in 1987 and we're in 2020. And so many things that Ra channeled are just now kind of being proven to be correct. Like how our personality, our profile is 70% of the neutrinos coming in from the sun. And neutrinos are just these little particles that send information into our bodies from the light stream of our universe. Not to get too like scientific over here, but that has just been proven. So just little things like that, that can't really be duplicated in just a natal chart. I always tell people like a natal chart is the perfect place to start, because human design can absolutely be overwhelming if you're trying to get to the micro without starting at the macro. But when you are feeling more comfortable with your natal chart, you know your sun, moon, and rising, you know your north node, you know a little bit of your planets and how they're talking to other aspects in your chart and how you're kind of moving around those energies in your reality, in your real life, then I would recommend you to dive into your human design chart, because human design really gives you the details of what your astrology chart is saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I know we had some listeners say, you know, I've heard of human design or I've seen my chart, but it's confusing. How do I make it simpler? And I think that that's a great place to start. Let's say someone follows that advice. They then have their type, their strategy, their authority, and profile. What do they do with that information? How can we start applying that to our lives?
So the energy types, like I said, are just your auric field. So when you kind of understand how your auric field, which literally can take up the space of a room, how it's sending information to other people in that same room, you start to be aware of who feels good around you and who doesn't feel good. I mean, I feel like we already kind of have this lingo where we say good vibes or bad vibes. That's basically your energy type. Your energy type is your feelers. It allows you to kind of feel out who and what are giving you good vibes and who and what are not giving you good vibes. So if you really lean into the archetypes of each energetic type and learn where they're showing up in your life, you can really start kind of testing it, because human design is just an experiment. It's actually called the human design experiment, and you're meant to just kind of play with it. So, you know, as a generator, if I am walking into the room and I'm really lit up, like I'm in my purpose, I feel completely aligned, I'm going to attract a lot of magnetic experiences and people to me. If I walk into a room and I just had a fight with my husband or my kids or whatever, I am going to attract whatever it is that feeling is. Like the types are very basic on that energetic level. Then when we move to the strategy, like I said, it just allows you to know if you're in the right place at the right time. So I'm just going to keep using generators. So as a generator, my strategy is waiting to respond. Now, that doesn't mean like we're just literally just waiting around. Like we're always responding. Every breath is a response for a generator. When things come into our auric field, all that strategy is kind of doing is allowing for the intelligence of our body to catch up with the reality of what's going on. So I have a sacral authority, and authority is just what you follow to make the decision that's correct for you. So my sacral authority is in my sacral chakra. For me, it feels like flutters of butterflies or like nauseous, queasy feeling. For other people, it could be an expansion or a contraction. I know some people who have their throat connected to their sacral, and for them, it's like a or hell no or hell yes, like a verbal. I don't really seem to get the verbals. I just get like my body either closes down like a hermit or it expands like a sunflower if it's really good for me. And so following that strategy of waiting to respond allows my body to move in this way that I can actually respond to the thing that's coming into my environment. Someone wants to take me out to dinner, and you know, the person I haven't really been vibing with, and they ask me, you know, do you want to go out to dinner? It's correct for me as a generator to wait for my body to give me that physical, visceral response. Right? And that's the part that we as humans have bypassed. We've learned to bypass, because before, you know, when we didn't have all this technology, our bodies were our technology. Our bodies was what was allowing us to make decisions that would keep us alive or in safe or endangered places. But now that we have so many different forms of technology kind of doing that for us, that awareness of tapping into the intelligence of our body has really gone out the window. And I feel like human design allows us to tap back into the intelligence of our bodies, because our minds are not the source of where we make decisions from. Our mind can only categorize and distinguish between things, but it can't really make a decision that is correct for our soul. And then your profile. So after you kind of like practice with all of that, and it's very simple, like you can just practice with small things, really small things, like do I want tea or do I want water? Do I want juice or do I want a smoothie? And then for manifestors, they're here to really inform. So that's their strategy. So for them, like they have an idea. Instead of running out the gate to do it, let me talk to someone about this. You're not asking for permission. You're just sharing. So once you kind of have spent time really getting to know yourself, and this is the aloneness of it, this is the really like integration part of it, then your profile allows you to kind of stylize your approach to life. And there's 12 profiles, and we each have one, and it's made up of two numbers, your conscious and your unconscious. And so these two numbers together kind of tell the story of your personal style in how you approach life. And I love the profile. I think it's so underrated. I don't think enough people talk about it, because it's also how we really uncover our purpose here. I feel like it's the filter in which we move through the world that allows us to really find our purpose and why we're meant to be here. And those four things, oh my gosh, those four things like will take you very, very, very far. Like the rest of it is just fun to like start integrating and kind of unlocking more pieces to the puzzle. But you could literally spend 7 years on those four things, deconditioning and returning back to yourself, and it would be incredible.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I mean, even just referencing, like I have the soul map that you created in front of me, just referencing those four pieces, there's so much helpful information there that they're incredible tools for sure. So I'm curious, how can our energy type and kind of the contents of our human design chart impact how we approach our well-being, right? Like, do different energy types benefit from taking a different approach to fitness or to mindfulness? And what does that look like?
Absolutely. That is a great question, because that actually leads to this thing in human design called not self theme. And I touched on it a little bit earlier. Manifestors are meant to feel peace, but their not self is anger. And generators are meant to feel satisfaction. Their not self is frustration. Projectors are meant to feel success. Their not self is bitterness. And reflectors are meant to feel surprise. And their not self is disappointment. And those are kind of the, I guess you could say, like GPS monitors that show us where and when we're out of place. So you said like physical health, for example. So for generators and manifesting generators, we have so much life force energy that we tend to overcommit and overshoot and say yes to things even though we really don't want to. And that leads to a lot of burnout, physical, mental, spiritual, adrenal burnout. And in order to kind of like counterbalance that, we're meant to move our bodies every single day and really go to sleep when we're completely exhausted and ready to recharge, and then wake up fully charged and ready to start the next day. For manifestors, they don't have this sacral energy. None of the other types, except for generators and manifesting generators, they don't have this sacral life force energy. So for them, they're really getting their life force energy from us. They're really kind of tapping into our well and making the things that they want to do throughout the day happen. For the non-sacral energy types, which are the manifestors, projectors, and reflectors, they really need to understand their bodies, and they really need to tune into the health and wellness of their bodies. That's not to say that we all don't, but those three especially are the ones that are very open to the conditioning of just work, trying to get things done, and then they end up being burnt out. I mean, there's like a little joke in human design that says like projectors are only supposed to work 2 to 3 hours a day. And it's true, because for their type, the way that they give off their energy is really in spurts. Like it just comes and then it goes. And so for a projector working a 9-to-5 job, they're going to feel really burnt out because they're trying to give 8 hours of energy to something that they really only have 2 to 3 or 2 to 4 hours of energy for. And when we're not listening to our bodies and we're just kind of going with the flow of what society is saying, it really leads to a lot of illness. And I know you and I talked about this during our session, that like there are certain areas in your chart where you can look that will tell you if you don't watch it, like you're going to end up with immune issues and really kind of destroying the natural functionality and intelligence of your bodies. So we really, really have to kind of find a way to integrate what we're learning in human design into our real life. And that's why I am so focused on like the PHS, which is your personal health system in human design. And that really tells us how each of our individual bodies are meant to show up physically in the world, like what we're meant to eat, the best environment, how we're meant to sleep, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, which is so helpful, because I think, and I've probably been guilty of this as well, so much of the advice that we get is so one size fits all. And we hear so many blanket statements when it comes to wellness advice, but each of us is so different that there's no way any one approach works for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and I'm personally plant-based, but I just never resonated with the way that vegans or plant-based eaters kind of spread the message, because not everyone, you know, is really kind of cut out to eat a certain way. And that's not to say that we all can't be plant-based or vegetarians, but we really have to give space for other people to figure out what is correct for their body. And I really use that word correct intentionally. I don't say right or wrong, because in human design, there are no rights and wrongs. There's only what is correct for you and what is correct for your type, right? Food is such, it's such a heavy, heavy conditioning agent within our society. And it's really not meant to be. It's just meant for our bodies to intake information about the environment that we're in and really allow our bodies to move into the highest potential that it can be. So yeah, I think that's such a great point that you bring up about really like honing in into how this can be used for not just your spiritual advancement or expansion, but your physical one too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, I mean, when I was going through my information, I had a lot of aha moments, and the parts about sleep specifically were super interesting. And at least for my situation, I felt like it resonated a lot. And so it was a reminder of how different we all are, and what's best for one person is not necessarily best for the next.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, me and my husband are both generators, but our kids are projector and manifestor, and they are non-sacral energy types, meaning that they don't really make their own life force energy, and they need a for real bedtime. My son, as a projector, he takes like 3 naps a day. He gets tired really easily. Like he'll, you know, put out so much energy and then he'll be like, oh, mommy, I need to take a nap. I'm like, okay, yes, for sure. You need to go take a nap. Whereas our manifestor, it's like she can just go and go and go and go and go. And she's just like, get out of my way. And like, if as parents, we didn't know this, like our parents disciplined us for doing things that my kids are free to do. And that's like a whole nother conversation between parents and kids, human design dynamics, which is so interesting once you get into this. And if you have kids or just personal relationships with people around you. But yeah, the sleep factor is one of the most touchy kind of subjects in human design, because Ra always says that we are actually meant to sleep alone and not in the auric fields of other people, which is really touchy, especially in our society, because it's like, oh, you don't sleep in the same bed? Like, you must not love each other, that kind of thing. So that's like a whole conditioning agent around sleep. But yeah, I digress.
I think that there is so much societal conditioning with so many areas of life, which I won't go on a full tangent about that, that when we start to learn more about ourselves and what works best for us, I think it's okay to step outside of some of that conditioning.
Absolutely. It's so correct for us to step out of that conditioning. And it, I think, empowers other people to see that there's something different, right? Like, it's like we're not all supposed to be the same. If we were, we would all look the same and talk the same and eat the same. And right now we're all like fighting for a freedom to be different when we're naturally supposed to be different.
We touched on this a little bit when you were talking about your family and just the different energy types amongst your kids. I'm curious how different energy types can kind of work together when it comes to relationships, be it friendships, family, romantic relationships. You know, do we look at the energy types of those around us in terms of compatibility? Does it work that way? Or is it more so information to kind of best understand how to share space with that person?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great question. And I think it's both of them. I don't think it has to be either or. I think we can absolutely look at charts and see the compatibility romantically. We can look at charts and see the compatibility between like friendship and just work relationships. I think it's also so powerful, especially as we're starting to grow more conscious businesses, for partners and business owners to understand how they are meant to show up in their business. The same thing for family and the same thing for parents and kids and all that stuff. It's just giving our power back to us about being aware of who we are and how we take up space in the world. Because if we understand the other as much as we understand ourselves, there's a level of compassion that really comes in after we kind of sit in that alone space and say, oh, okay, this is who I am. This is the kind of space that I take up. For example, as a manifester, my daughter doesn't like really saying hi to people. She doesn't feel she needs to. And I could easily be the parent that's like, no, babe, you need to say hi, you know, like you need to be quote unquote respectful. But I'm not honoring who she is as a manifester, which is she has a very repelling aura. So she knows right away who's for her and who's not. And I might be so caught up in my conditioning of, oh, I want this other person to think that I'm a good parent that teaches my child respect for other people. And I'm forcing her to do something that's not correct for her type. Do you know what I mean? Allows them to not grow up with the same conditioning that I grew up with. And that's really the whole goal as we evolve as humans on this one planet, like to realize that our uniqueness is actually what is making us whole. Our uniqueness is actually what is allowing us to become aware of the fact that we are all one and we're all dipping into the same pot. And all of the creativity and all of our curiosities and all the things that make us special are all coming from this same well, but we're just kind of expressing it differently. And if we know that there's so many forms of expression, we wouldn't be fearful about a manifesto are showing up in a way like Frida Kahlo or a generator showing up in a way like Oprah. We would just accept it. It would just be this level of deep understanding and compassion that would allow us to evolve into these like super conscious beings where we don't have war, we don't have poverty, we don't have hunger. Simple things that we have the ability to take away that we're choosing not to because we simply just don't understand the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think that it would make the journey back to ourselves a lot less difficult. We would have a lot less deprogramming to do from our childhoods to come back to ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's like the greatest tool that human design, that you can use human design for, is like a map to return back to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness. This is just all so good. So I would love to transition a bit to talk to you about purpose. because I know that this is something that you talk about quite a bit on your platform. Purpose, I think, is one of those things that's really challenging for a lot of people. I feel like I hear conversations all the time about purpose and about people struggling to find their purpose. And I would love to kind of get your thoughts on, is purpose something that we need to discover? Is it something that is already within us that we come back to? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, purpose is literally the reason why I'm here. Like, it's the thing I'm most passionate about, because I truly believe that when each of us align with our purpose, we're not going to be worried about what anyone else thinks about us or what anyone else is doing. And we're truly going to be able to harness this thought or this belief that heaven can exist on earth. And yeah, you're right. I truly do believe that each of us are carrying within us this seed of our purpose. And our job is to just decondition so that we can be in a receiving mode to receive our purpose. And that's the big thing. Like, I don't think a lot of people, I don't think the problem is that a lot of people don't know what their purpose is. I think they just don't know themselves and they don't trust themselves, because there isn't anything that I have told you or anyone else that I have connected with that they didn't already know. Just, hey, I'm just reminding you that this is why you're here and this is what you're here to do. That's why those aha moments are coming, is because that seed was already planted within you before you got here. We're just meant to remind and empower each other to really trust in what we're hearing within ourselves and follow that. And my belief is that once we really start trusting that, our purpose just kind of unfolds in front of us. Again, I always tell people, like, yes, human design is a great tool, but it's just that. It's just a tool. You know yourself better than anything that could have ever been channeled under the sun, because you came here with this information. And that's what Ra actually said. He said, you know, what I'm bringing isn't anything new. I'm just the conduit that is channeling this truth, this universal truth, into material form so that we can keep going back to it every time we forget, or every time we don't remember to really trust ourselves. So yeah, I mean, your purpose is right there on your chart. It's your incarnation cross, and it's all your centers. It's all of your gates. It's all of your planets. And they're telling a story about how each step is going to lead you to unearth your divine destiny. And for some people, it's a thing. It's like an actual activity that they do. And for others, it's just a beingness. It's just simply arriving in the state of beingness and being okay with just being. You know, each of us, we obviously have to, like, make a living and live on this material plane. So it's our job to kind of follow the little breadcrumbs in front of us that will allow us to kind of alchemize our incarnation cross or our destiny into a way that we can sell or barter or exchange our energy in order for us to continue to live these human lives. Like, for me, for example, my incarnation cross is called Right Angle Cross of Tension. And this incarnation cross is not necessarily about a doing. It's about who I am. I am the kind of person that if I see someone out there that is struggling with getting to a place that they want to be and they don't understand how they can do that, I am there to relieve that tension. And that can come in a myriad of ways. I could be a therapist. I could be a coach. I could be a friend. I could be a mom. I could be a listening ear. You know, it's not just like this one thing that I'm meant to do. And once I realized that, I was like, wow, these incarnation crosses are meant to be shared in so many dimensions, because we are multidimensional. Why would we choose, you know, an incarnation cross that literally says, like, oh, I'm just here to be a teacher and that's it, and I can't touch any other thing that makes me feel lit up? No. You know, if you're here, you know, if your angle is left angle of education, you can educate just by standing in line. You know, someone says, oh, what is that thing that you have there? Oh, this thing is a, you know, X, Y, and Z. Right there, you're living your purpose. So I think we get so caught up in kind of like, oh, I want to find my purpose. I want to live my purpose. I want to do my purpose. And trust me, that was my entire life until human design found me, is like, my life will be so much better when I find my purpose. I will be making so much money when I find my purpose. Like, I will be happy when. And like, this is not true. It is incorrect. It's the biggest falsity that we've ever been fed, is that when something happens, then we become happy. It's like, no, the whole journey is where you find happiness, not just when you arrive at this place of purpose.
Oh, yes. I have chills. I love that you said that, because I feel like that is a lesson that I have kind of struggled to learn, if I'm being totally honest, and I'm coming around to it and starting to understand more about enjoying and finding peace and fulfillment in the journey and not always looking for a destination, because I think we've all experienced reaching a destination and then still feeling unfulfilled and then shooting for the next thing and shooting for the next thing. It's no way to be.
No, it's not. I mean, we're all here to simply be. That's why we're called human beings and not human doings, you know? And if we can just lean into just trusting that we are constantly unfolding and expanding, like there really is nothing to ever get to, because time and this whole experience will just continuously expand. So really, there's no end to it. You know, it's just our mind that tells us like, oh, we have to get to this ending point. And when you get to this ending point, then you'll get all the things that, you know, it was meant for you, which is, it's just the mind that is so helpful in some ways and then so unhelpful. And it's our job to kind of tell it like, okay, this job is not for you. You know, I can handle it.
Oh, love that. Thank you so much for that. So helpful. I think that's something we can all relate to in one way or another. So Jasmine, for you, I mean, you do wear a lot of hats, right? You teach, you're a mother, you're a wife. How do you also take care of you?
Okay. I would probably have to call, you know, wave my white flag and say like, this is not my strong suit. I have a lot of conditioning around taking care of myself. I grew up with a mom, single mom of four kids, and I don't think I ever saw her take care of herself. I think the images that I often have of her are of breakdowns, of being really tired and just not really being happy fully, because she always put herself ahead of others, and which is such a commendable thing. But I think in very high doses, in the doses that I saw it in, it really instilled in me that my worth comes from sacrificing myself for others. And that's something that I have just really started to see the errors of that way, because I had strep a few weeks ago and I hadn't been sick in probably 4 years. And it was because of that, because I was not taking care of myself. And I just kind of made a promise to myself that like, I really have to just ask for help. I have to ask my husband like, hey, I need 5 minutes to shower. I need 10 minutes to shower, or I need 20 minutes so that I can like lovingly lotion my body the way that I would if I didn't have all these things going on. And so for me, it's really just, I'm still such an infant in this stage. And I think that's why it's so great that like platforms like yours exist, because even when we're on Instagram, you know, we see a reminder that says like, okay, you need to take time for yourself. It's like, oh yeah, I do. Like that's, for me, that's not a natural thought. I would love for it to be one day that I really am just understanding that I have to fill my cup up before I can fill others' cup. But that's just not the way that it was ingrained in me. And that's a huge deconditioning around self-love and self-worth that I'm constantly working towards. But ideally, I would see myself like being able to take long baths and candles. I love a lot of like the sensual thing, very Taurian, like luxury things, massages and facials. Like those things really, really fill me up, like fill my body up, because I tend to hold a lot of tension. Again, that's my incarnation cross in my body. I'm holding the tension of my life and also of the people that I come into contact with. And I'm just learning grounding practices to really tell myself, okay, that's their problem. And as much as I would love to help, like it's not mine. So a lot of earthing, I've been practicing a lot of earthing, which is just kind of, you know, putting my feet on the bare ground. And that just feels so good for me. It just really grounds me back into my body, because I tend to do a lot of like inner vision meditation, which takes me out of my body. And that's how I'm able to get these intuitional hits that can really help and serve others. But I tend to forget about my physical body. So that's something that I'm really, really leaning into this year. I really want to be selfish. I really want to be selfish about my physical body.
So good. Well, first off, I really appreciate just your honesty and transparency in that, because I think we're all a work in progress in that area. I think so many of us kind of received that same conditioning where we don't necessarily see examples of the women in our lives really taking care of themselves. And so I really appreciate your honesty there. And can so relate to the grounding, and I mean, Taurus moon over here. So relatable. Yes. So Jasmine, what does being a balanced Black girl mean to you?
Oh, that's a good one. Being balanced. For me, being balanced is when I'm able to catch my breath. Honestly, I feel like I hold my breath a lot throughout the day, constantly waiting for something like the ball to drop or something good to happen or something bad to happen. But when I'm truly balanced, I'm just breathing. Like, my body just feels good. It's just filled with like really yummy, chronic breath. And then in my outer life, when I feel balanced, oh man. I'd probably say when everyone around me is smiling and laughing and happy, that makes me feel like, one, I don't really have to do anything, which feels so good. And then two, that I get to experience the joy of life. Really, like, experiencing the joy of life is what balance truly means to me. And I really have to remind myself of that every day because, you know, we wake up and it's like, onto the chase. But that breath, for me, is just my biggest practice has been my breath, coming back home to my breath. My breath lets me know that I'm safe. My breath lets me know that I'm okay. It lets me know that I'm in the right place. It lets me know that I'm balanced. It lets me know that I'm in my purpose. It lets me know that I'm healthy. It lets me know that I'm saying and doing the right things. And whenever I'm holding my breath, that's when I'm not believing in myself. And that's when I truly feel unbalanced.
Ooh, oh my goodness. It made me want to take a deep breath just listening. That is absolutely beautiful. And I think we can really underestimate the power that our breath has. It's incredible just what pausing and just taking a deep breath can do for how you feel physically, mentally, and being connected to your breath and recognizing those times where you are holding your breath are so important.
Yes, yes, completely agree with you, completely. It's like the vehicle. It's just, yeah, it's divine. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for this. I mean, I feel like I learned so much during this conversation. For our listeners who would love to stay in touch with you, for people who want to get in touch with you for a reading, which y'all, I cannot recommend enough, where can they find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Instagram at Moondust Our Mother. Website is the same, moondustourmother.com. And yeah, you can just find all of my offerings on there. I do soul maps, and these are a little bit like navigation tools. It's basically your human design chart, and I go through each aspect that would really benefit you in knowing, and it's uniquely tailored to you, and it's this 40-page plus beautifully designed map of your soul. And I really created it as a contemplation guide for you to have for many, many moons that you can just always refer back to and just learn from and dig deep. And then obviously, like you said, the soul sessions are really when we're able to dive deep into everything about your soul map and so much more.
So helpful. I cannot recommend it enough. So we will have all of your information linked in the show notes so that everyone can come find you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy that we got to do this.
My goodness. How much did you love Jasmine? How much did you learn from that interview? I told you she is wonderful. She is like a wealth of knowledge, and I cannot recommend getting to know her, getting to know her work yourself. So if you are interested in diving deeper into your human design and you want to have a Divine Destiny Soul Map session with Jasmine, remember you can use the coupon code BALANCEDBLACK at checkout to get 10% off your soul map session. So putting that out there one more time, just so you don't forget, it's also going to be in the show notes so that you can easily follow Jasmine and book with her. Before we go, I wanted to share with you the review of the week. Leaving a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts is one of the best ways that you can support the show, aside from, you know, sharing it with a friend, sharing it on social, and tagging me. Really, reviews are how people find our podcasts. It is so helpful for keeping us ranked, for getting us in front of new people, for sharing these stories and resources far and wide. And right now, especially while a lot of people are at home, there's been a little bit less movement when it comes to podcasts because it is something that so many people listen to on their commute. So if this episode resonated with you and you wanted to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and share, I would be eternally, eternally grateful. So this week's 5-star review is is titled Slow Cooked Content and Authenticity. It says, "Something that I find so refreshing about this podcast is that it feels like deep information that's articulated in such a conscious and present way. I could be wrong, but I could see why Les decided to be conscious with the content she put out on a regular basis in consideration to her well-being. Also, if you're reading this, Les, never stop mentioning our First Lady and your collaboration with her. It's such a powerful reflection of the authentic and impactful work you do, and it's so undeniable Michelle Obama had to get in on it. It's also a part of your journey. Anyway, love your work and keep it up." Huge thanks to Olivia808 for this really loving review. I really appreciate it. I mean, it's definitely my goal to be really conscious and really focus on quality over quantity, and to just put out as good of a quality podcast and interview and conversation that I can each time. And so I'm so glad that you appreciate that. And I'm also so glad that you appreciate my occasional mentions of the meet and greet that we had with Michelle Obama last year, because that was just such a special, special moment. And I'm so grateful to be able to share it with you. So thank you for not being sick of hearing about it. I really appreciate the encouragement. And thanks again for the review. So until our next episode, I want you to stay healthy. I want you to stay safe to the best of your ability. Remember to breathe and remember to keep taking care of you. Until next time.